Hi, I'm Megan M. Riley from MeganMRiley.com. I'm a natural born psychic and sexual empowerment coach, and you are listening to Women's Guide to Living the Orgasmic Life. Episode 14, Women's Guide to Living the Orgasmic Life. Welcome back. Thank you for being here. My name is Megan Riley from MeganMRiley.com. I'm a psychic and a sexual empowerment coach, which means I work with women on healing their relationship with their body, healing their relationship with their sexuality, and bringing a life that is sensual and beautiful and sexy into every area of their lives. If that's interesting to you, I would love to talk. My website is MeganMRiley.com, or you can find me on Facebook, Megan.M.Riley0, or Instagram at Megan.M.Riley. So this week, I have a special guest, Dan Mason, one of my best friends, is a career and life transition coach and the host of Life Amplified podcast on iHeartRadio. Dan went from being miserable in a soul-sucking job, a marriage that was bad for him, and depressed, to helping others make changes in their own lives. You might see a bit of yourself. We met last year as part of a mentorship program, and we didn't even really notice each other at first, until several months in, we're now close friends and have daily conversations. And this conversation is pretty much like what we talk about every single day. On this episode, we talk about how understanding the difference between masculine and feminine energy can help you be the person that you were meant to be in dating, relationships, and love. The importance of being present in the moment, knowing your past trauma, how to heal that, and how it can affect you now. The importance of knowing you and your partner's emotional needs and how to fill them. How embracing your own energy can lead you in the direction you need to go, and the importance of vulnerability. Learn more about Dan at creativesoulcoaching.net and or on Instagram at CSC Dan Mason. Find the Life Amplified podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want to chat with me, send me an email to mail@meganmriley.com. Hi, goddesses. It has been a while since talking about masturbation. It took me a little bit to come back. You know, that conversation, I think that we should have with our children. I think that we should have with our friends. And it's just something that we don't talk about. And I have my own little recording studio set up in my house now. So I'm not waiting for when someone else is available. And I have one of my favorite people in the whole world with me. And I'm really, really excited about this. Dan Mason from Life Amplified and just a really incredible coach that I have gotten to know over the last year and a half.
Well, we didn't really talk to each other much through like the first 5 months of the mentorship program we were in together. And there's probably reasons for that that we'll get into today. I like to feel it's more like the past year.
And you reminded me this week, it all started with the Claim Your Power Cleanse.
That was right. We were going to do like lots of juicing and no masturbation and no flirting. And then next thing you know, it was like the Seinfeld episode. A day and a half later, we're like, we're out.
Done.
This isn't working. Well, it is an honor to be here with you. It's always wonderful. You and I talk every day, but it's cool that we can do it now on a podcast platform today. And anytime somebody mentions the name Dan Mason and women's orgasm in the same sentence, that's a good day in my book. So I am ready to go. I am eager to serve. I am ready to talk about whatever it is you have in mind today.
Okay, here's what's exciting to me. Dan is one of the most present, woke, intentional, and really committed to being in the epic fucking love relationship men that I have ever been around. And dealing with yourself as we go through this process and kind of peeling back the layers and who are we and who are we getting into relationship and who is this woman going to be like, I would love to hear kind of from where you came
And what does it look like now for someone like you to be dating and to be with like a lot of the women that we are talking to today?
You know, it's a fascinating journey. I mean, we sort of joked at the top of the podcast about you and I didn't really talk through the first 6 months of the mentorship program. And you joke with me, you didn't even know I was there. It was like I was invisible, but it's probably indicative of how I was showing up in the world in all facets of my life. You know, I think the bigger conversation that I like to have with male clients is, what does it even mean to be a man right now? You know, we are in the process of redefining what masculinity is, getting away from the toxic masculinity, where a lot of us kind of came up in a culture in the 80s and 90s. It was about consumption, and it was about how much money are you going to make, and how many toys are you going to buy, and how hot are the women that you're with, and how many of them do you have? And, you know, that is all fun and games for a period of time, but you reach a point where you get tired of your own bullshit as a man, where you realize that there is no bigger salary, there's no next bigger job, there's no next relationship, there's no amount of money in the bank account that is actually going to make you fulfilled. You could be successful, but not necessarily fulfilled. And I think I was a guy that, as alpha as I was in my career, and I was very successful, I was never able to really create that success in relationships. And I don't know how much on this podcast you've talked about masculine and feminine energy and the masks that we wear and the roles that we play, but I was not truly showing up in my masculine energy. And that was something that never really felt safe to me for a lot of years. You know, growing up in a home with a mom who was super masculine, I had to go more into my feminine at a young age as a teenager just to survive, really. You know, because if I tried to out-masculine my mom, things would get pretty aggressive. Things would get really violent in the house. And it was almost like there was no emotion safe for me to feel. You know, like if I got sad about what was going on at home, I would get ridiculed. If I got angry about what was happening, I'd get hit. So I just became numb, really, and checked out. I was sort of in my own world. And my measure of success for a lot of years was, how much money am I making? You know, how great does my life look on social media? You know, by 23, 24 years old, I'm making six figures. I'm driving a Lexus. I owned a condo in the nicest suburb of Cleveland, by where all the pro athletes lived. But I was failing in what it really means to show up as a man in a relationship.
Well, what does that look like? Because we have talked about masculine, feminine here, but coming from you, coming from a man, it's not swishy if you're in feminine, but what does it look like and what does it feel like to go through your life in relationship being in a feminine protected mask?
Generally, it means that you are only in relationship with a masculine protected woman. It's the little things. It's the idea of, I don't know, where do you want to go for dinner? I don't know. I mean, I'll do whatever. What movie do you want to see? What would you like to do this weekend? And I didn't realize that at the time that, you know, every woman has got to be masculine energy in her career. And that's how women are crushing it in the age of hashtag girl boss. But nobody had ever raised me to know any of this stuff. We're not taught this. I hope that one day if I have kids, I can do this moving forward for my son. But women are making so many decisions all day long that the last thing that you want to do when you come home is have to make more decisions. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to crush it in my career, but come home and feel like I'm safe, that the man has got things planned and that somebody's going to show up and take the lead and be a man? And it doesn't mean that like I'm being controlling or she's being submissive, but it's just taking the lead. It's fully engaging. How was your day? And then not trying to jump in and fix it. Or to tell her why she shouldn't feel that way, which is even worse.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Or if she's super emotional going, what the shit is going on right now? I don't know how to deal with this hurricane that's blowing through the kitchen. And I don't know what the fact that, you know, your mom's a bitch has to do with the fact your sister's being an idiot and why your boss sucks and what that has to do with the leftover lasagna in the refrigerator. So I'm just going to go in the other room and watch SportsCenter and wait for you to figure all that out and cool down on your own.
Right.
Does that make sense? I know that's not like a technical medical answer, but those are the things I think that it looks like. And then a lot of times when you're in your feminine mask as a man, it means that you're taking up the emotional space. You're the one trying to talk about emotions and bring it out to create intimacy in the relationship, but your partner's not going to trust you.
Yes. So not trusting, because as a woman in that kind of situation, and I definitely have run a masculine mask in relationships, in a woman in that situation, what I feel is I cannot relax. There's no time that I can relax. And so a really good sign in the men that I want to be around, not just in dating, but my friends, mentor, do I feel like I can just relax in this conversation and that someone else has got it?
And when you say that someone else has got it, what do you mean by that? I'm curious.
It's an energetic thing for me. So I feel, I intuit, I feel, but do I have to run the show? Do I have to drive the car, literally and figuratively? Do I have to decide things? Do I have to remember to pay things? And with my ADD, that's like the worst. Unless I set up for automatic payment, I cannot remember when to pay my cell phone bill. So always being on guard, and it puts us into, as a trauma survivor too, I go into hypervigilance, so always being scanning for threats. But in a masculine mask, in a relationship, I'm always scanning for a problem.
The other thing I would add to this conversation, the relationships that I was gravitating toward with masculine energy women was just also collapsing on myself.
Like, what does that mean?
I don't think it's necessarily wrong. Like, you know, we talk about feminine energy is emotional. Mm-hmm. And yes, the feminine partner should be safe to show up and talk about emotions. But as a man, you have emotional needs too. As a masculine partner, there are emotional needs. And it's not your place to occupy that space, but it is your job to speak up on behalf of what you want, or to speak up when your spidey senses tell you that something is off in the universe. You know, I look at my marriage, which, by the way, didn't last very long. Like, you know, I was more on the Kardashian end of the marriage. You know, I got married in October of 2011, and we split up in April of 2012. So a whopping 6 months. But the reality is if I had known 3 months into that relationship that things she were telling me didn't add up, and I was scared to speak up. Because again, remember, you know, for me, speaking up meant as a kid mean that I was either going to get abandoned or I was going to get hit. But either way, it would equal pain. So it was easier just not to speak up. So then I found out that, you know, my wife of 6 months had pretty much had a boyfriend behind my back almost the whole 4 years we were together. And that turned out to be a disaster. So I don't know if that means that if you're a feminine mask guy, if you're setting yourself up for a heartbreak and to be cheated on, but that was a common thread in many of my relationships.
You know, that's something that I have come across as well. A lot of men in their feminine mask are cheated on. The interesting thing though, you look great on paper. And then looking at the things that have happened, you talked about abusive growing up at home, relationship, your marriage not working, being cheated on. What was the thing that was finally enough?
You know, you only know what you know. I mean, for me, divorce was rock bottom. You know, at that point in my life, I'm 40 pounds overweight. I'm battling depression. I'm in a career where I was super successful, making great money, lived in the big house in the gated community, but none of it really felt good. And my relationships were all superficial. You know, I was living on the surface level with people because I didn't know how to be vulnerable and I didn't know how to create deeper relationships in my life. So that for me was when I started, at least I had to immerse myself in therapy and start figuring out my next right move. And going back to what I believed it meant to be a man, it just meant, well, I need to get a bigger job. By God, I need to make more money. That's really what's missing here. I need a job with more challenge, more prestige, more money that lets me live in a bigger city that looks better on social media. So I moved from Sacramento, California, and I moved to Boston and had this huge radio executive job. And then when I got bored with that and it felt empty, I chased another 2 years and went to Florida for an even bigger job, overseeing more radio stations. And then that was really the point, you know, where I realized, okay, the answer isn't going to happen through my career or more on paper success. Something within me needs to change. And that's when I really, you know, started pursuing the coaching avenue rather than therapy. And that's eventually the path that led us to the same mentor and the group that we're in right now. And the things that you don't typically learn about in therapy. Nobody taught me what masculine energy was. Nobody taught me why I was showing up in a feminine mask. Once I learned those things, my life changed really quickly. Megan, you were there the night I had an intervention with our mentor. that was pretty heavy and it was pretty intense, and where I really got challenged to step forward into my masculine. And within 60 days of that, I was making more money than I ever had in my business. You know, I pretty much 6x my business over the course of the time since. It got me out of a relationship that was no longer serving me. And that wasn't even like a toxic relationship where I was being cheated on. That was just one of those like, hey, we're great roommates.
Right.
We hang out. We like to walk the dogs and watch House of Cards on Netflix. Do we like to have sex? Yeah, not really. There's no passion.
There's not really any sex on the kitchen counter.
Well, at that point, there wasn't sex anywhere, but that's another question. You know, that's a whole other topic. You know, I had sort of traded in these like sort of abusive relationships, you know, that were toxic for one that was just okay. And to me, that felt like that was the best it would ever get.
Oh, you know, yeah.
I didn't realize that there was another level beyond that. And, you know, it's easy to blame your partner and talk about what they should do. Or if she were just more feminine, then that would be great. If she, you know, let me in and she opened up. Well, no, as a man, you have to create that space for the feminine to open up and to feel safe to do it. You know, I was putting the cart before the horse. It's like people, like when people come to us for coaching and they're like, well, you know, I don't really want to make the investment, but when things turn around in my life, then I'll reach out to you.
Right, you know, right.
You're waiting for the result to happen and sort of outsourcing your power to create the change you want in your life by doing that. That for me changed everything.
Well, let's circle back. You just mentioned something that it's your job to create the space. And you also said safe. Tell me more.
Creating space is just presence. And it's being able to stand in that feminine energy no matter how it's showing up. Sometimes that's going to be frantic and emotional. And sometimes it's going to be sad. And sometimes it's going to be angry as fuck. And sometimes it just wants, you know, it might just be in a complaining state for a while, but being able to be present with whatever the emotional experience is without either judging it or taking it personally and thinking it's all about you. Mm. Oh, that was a big one for me and my feminine energy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, you're so upset. You seem angry. Did I do something wrong? Can I take your experience right now and make it all about me? But I thought I was being sensitive and being a good guy and showing up the right way. And then I realized, I'm just making it all about myself. That would not make a feminine energy partner feel safe. I realize that now.
Another comment that you made was right after the intervention when things really changed for you.
Yeah.
So it was defined for you. You had a moment. You had clarity. Something got healed. And if I look back, you and I did not really connect as friends. I mean, we kind of were aware of each other because we were both doing well business-wise, but we did not connect as friends until that moment.
Mm-hmm. The next day is when we started having meals together. Look, I mean, in our mentorship group, there were only 5 guys in the group at the time. And by the end of the year, I was the last one left standing.
Right.
You know, the other guys had fallen by the wayside. But I noticed with every woman in that group, people related to me different after that.
Yes.
People were calling me. People would come to me if they were having a bad day and want, you know, somebody who could hold space. And I'm not even saying it was like in some romantic way.
Right.
But just in a platonic way, I had more people reaching out to me. And the other piece is after that intervention, I physically felt different. I can't explain it. This is going to sound stupid, but I felt like I was 5 inches taller by the end of that experience.
Huh.
You know, I was just sort of showing up in the world, sort of slouched over, shoulders down, you know, friendly, engaging, but not wanting to take up too much space, you know, not trying to draw attention to myself, which it probably also was how I was showing up in my business, which is why my business was up and down. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I can't even explain it. I physically felt different. It's not even just like an energy thing. I physically felt different at the end of that experience once I was really stepping into my masculine.
Now, from a man's perspective, there are women that are listening that are in a relationship, maybe similar to the relationship you talked about that you left in the beginning of the year or late last year. Or they're seeing where it is that they have had more of a masculine mask rather than their partner. And that this is not about male, female, it's about masculine, feminine. So our sisters that play for the other team just as much, there's no exclusion.
Yeah.
What would you say as a man who has been there, what would you have liked something to happen? Is there something that could be said or a conversation that could happen that could flip the relationship back into a polarized, sexy, passionate, fabulous, epic fucking love?
That's a great question. Is a way of life and just as a personal theory that I'm stepping out to now, dating again, is the best way to get your needs met in a relationship is to be able to ask for your needs, which on some level means you need to know your needs.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't even really know what it is they want. They know what they don't want. They know what pisses them off. And it's easy, particularly, you know, feminine energy, a lot of times, particularly if you're a masculine masked female, to go into complaining and criticism. And it's almost like further emasculating the man on everything he's doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Where if the conversation is a me conversation and, hey, this is what I would really need, or this is what would make me feel safe, or hey, it's really hot and I found it really sexy when you did this one thing that one time 3 months ago when you were in your masculine energy for about 10 seconds and then you went back to being a big pussy. No, don't say it like that. Don't say it like that, ladies. But this is what I'm getting at, is being able to reinforce what it is that you do want and creating open dialogue in the relationship. But sometimes the hard thing about that is we don't know what we want. And sometimes we don't know what we want in a relationship because we've never experienced anything outside of what we have. You end up in the same kind of relationship over and over. It requires A, you being emotionally present with yourself. And I'm sure you've talked to people, you know, about goddess hour and
oh, like yeah.
So
and the egg.
Oh, I was hoping we would have a jade egg discussion.
You never know. You never know when an opportunity for the egg is going to come up.
I don't coach my clients on the egg. I refer them all to you when they need to know about that.
Dan, another thing that I wanted to talk to you about, especially as you are dating, one thing that a lot of women have the concern for is if they are not in a relationship, there is something wrong. And so they'll take anything just to be in a relationship. But I would love to hear how your experience of dating now is opposed to a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's really just been in the past month or two that I put myself back out on the online dating world. And it's interesting, particularly living in Manhattan and dating, where there's a lot of just energy of all sort. For me, it's just so much different. Here's how old Dan would have handled dating in a new city. Lead with some humor, something, you know, to kind of draw them in. Hey, I'm kind of funny. Look at that. You know, I don't have abs, but I'm funny. So let's get there. And then I would have been like, well, I don't really know the city. I mean, do you have a favorite bar that you'd like to meet at for drinks? Which again is just being like, will you make some more decisions and take the lead and be the masculine?
Yeah.
And where I'm at now is like, hey, yeah, I'd love to meet for drinks. You know, what are you doing Friday? Friday, great. Why don't you meet me at this bar at this time? And then what really tends to throw people for a loop is when I get there 15 minutes early and I already have the drink that they want waiting for them at the bar.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hey, I'm here early. What are you drinking? You know, I'll have it for you. And then they can just kind of come in. Their drink's there. There's nothing to think about. They can assess the situation. They can see if they're feeling me and then go from there. And not that this is like a technique or some dating game. I want to be very clear about that. This is just me taking my role as a masculine partner seriously and setting a tone from the beginning that I'm going to show up.
Mm.
So it's not like this is some way, oh, let me impress her and dazzle her because maybe she'll go home with me tonight. It's none of that. It's not what it is. For me, it's like, how do I establish a tone and take a lead early on? Even to the point in online dating where if a girl pursues me for the date first, where she's like, what's your number? I'll call you. Like she's stepping into that masculine and we've had that conversation. And
yes.
It's hard because, you know, one or two of them were really, really attractive.
Yes.
I was like, you know what? I'm not okay with that dynamic. I'm not going to establish that early on. And I just sort of bow out of the picture. You know, it's that idea that our mentors tell us that, you know, the egg doesn't chase the sperm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a control thing on my part. It's not some macho thing, but it's how can I step in now and really establish the energy polarity early on? And there are some women out there who are not comfortable receiving that. You know, it's almost like they don't trust that it's real.
Right.
And the way I look at it now, you know, from a masculine perspective, old Dan, needy Dan, would have been like, oh God, I've just got to prove myself. I've got to, you know, work harder to make them like me, which has an energy of neediness. The underlying intention in that is I'm not enough. Mm. That's probably how I was showing up before. Now it's not so much, even when I feel the lack of trust, it's just stay present and be still and continue to be there. Ask more questions, engage, take an interest. And on my end, you know, people will self-select out if they can't handle that. You know, if they can't handle having somebody show up that way, or if they feel they need to be in the driver's seat and be the driver and the passenger, it's probably not my person.
Very good. Well, we were talking earlier today about, for the most part, dating. Men have set the bar pretty low.
Yeah, you think?
And then women have been willing to take that. We've been willing to take the dregs and the ghosting and the non-commitment and sex before relationship. And we've been willing to take that. So for someone who is looking and looking for a relationship, and I know that there are so many women that are listening that really want that, but think that they're doing something wrong because the men that they come up against are avoidant attachment, anxious attachment, even there, low-hanging fruit. So what would you say to these women that really end up just thinking there's something wrong with them?
There's absolutely nothing wrong with you. I don't think that going on a personal growth path and going on this, like, you know, if you're working with a coach, a therapist, it's not about changing who you are. It's really about becoming more of who you always were. It's getting back to your core energy. And if you're truly at home in your feminine, and for guys, by the way, I don't know how many guys are listening to a podcast called The Women's Guide to the Orgasmic Life. They're woke as fuck if they are, and God love you. Thank you for being here. But it's about staying in your core energy. So, you know, it's about masculine partners staying in their masculine. It's about feminine partners taking the responsibility to stay in their feminine. And then trusting from that energy, you're going to attract the right person.
What do you think about timeline?
In what
way? How fast it happens, how fast it doesn't happen.
Well, I mean, look, we're an instant gratification society. You know, we're used to pressing a button on our phone and the Uber picks us up in 3 minutes or less. And we're used to ordering the pizza and it gets there in 30 minutes or less, or it's free. Binge watching shows, nobody has to wait until must see TV on Thursday night to watch their favorite show anymore. You just binge watch. And there's a lot of great things that have come out of that in our culture, but it's not going to serve you on a personal development path. The way I look at it is there are 7.5 billion fucking people in the world. Once you set that intention and get clear about who you want, sometimes the chess pieces all have to move around in divine timing for your beloved to show up. And it's not always about you. So sometimes they've got to get out of a relationship. They've got to do their work. They need that one breakthrough that's going to set them up so that they're ready to accept you and welcome you in. Or that they're really, I mean, for the women listening, that he's doing the work so he's ready to show up for you the way that you want.
Juicy. Okay, so let's talk about sex. So woke as fuck and committed to commitment and into masculine. No, this is about having eye-rolling experiences in every area of our life, in romantic relationship, in food, in work, in starting a business, with our family, not in a weird way, but great experiences. And then really having our sexuality be something that is sacred and beautiful and really, really good. So that's what we are all doing here, and that's what the women are listening for. So tell me your take.
My take, if I look at it from the energy I was occupying before, I'll tell you this, like, you know, back before I was woke and I was conscious, sex was an amazing cure for boredom. It's an amazing cure for boredom. It wasn't really a good cure for loneliness. You know, we've all done that where we're looking for the short-term fix, you know, like no different than the coke addict who's doing a bump and feels great for 15 minutes, but then you keep needing the bump. Yeah, I mean, sex is great. Sex is wonderful. Sex is way better when you have that connection with your person. And for me, like with where I'm at today is when we're recording this, that's what, you know, I've been doing a lot of dating, you know, I've been going out, I've been doing the dates. I have not actually crossed that barrier yet, if I'm being perfectly honest. No.
You tell.
I've had some great makeout sessions. I've done all that, but haven't gotten to that point yet. And it's not even that I couldn't.
Right.
There were times like on first dates in this experience where I could tell, like, the girl just is ready to come home on the first night. And for me, it's been about, how do I do this differently? Because I know it's just repeating the old pattern. Yeah, I could, but I also knew that this wasn't somebody who I really felt connected to. I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere. It'd be another, like, 3-week fling that we all find when we're swiping on an app. I just didn't go there. For me, it's just about, can I try to do things differently than I've done in the past? Can I hold out, you know, and wait till I'm sure that this is the person that I'm going to lock in with? And then, you know, bounce, chicka bounce to the motherfucking bow.
Target lock. So, had you been someone that would have taken her home on the first date?
Of course.
And I just want to point out the shift. This is not altruistic. This is where being in the masculine and really looking for the connection and wanting that connection, that he's not going to push the line if there's chemistry and it's going well and maybe you've had a couple drinks. He is not only not going to push the line, but if we do, he won't take it.
And look, I'm not a moralist over here. I'm not saying that casual sex is wrong, or that if that's where you're at in your journey right now, where you're just like, look, I don't have time for a relationship. I'm not ready for that. I haven't done my work and I just want to get laid. That's cool. Do you, you know, I've been there. But you know, what I'm talking about right now in terms of what I'm looking for and what I think a lot of your listeners are looking for is that next level, like the epic soulmate relationship.
Yes. Epic fucking love. I love this conversation. How is it different with you feeling forward into your lifestyle, your life, your business, relationship, dating, all of those things versus where you were, say, 10 years ago, looking or feeling forward 5 years?
Because 5 years ago, there was anxious attachment to everything. I'm not even talking just relationships. There was attachment in every job interview. Well, have they called back? What do you mean the email didn't come in? You know, it was anxious attachment in all sorts of relationships where I felt like I had to micromanage every single step along the way, which is really exhausting. It's an exhausting way to live. I always knew what my 5-year plan was. I've always been like sort of forward thinking and forward feeling, but it's feeling like you have to manage it, that everything is going to happen on my timeline in the exact way, in every step that I imagine in my head. And where I'm at right now is I totally have a vision for where I'd like to be in 10 years. But I've released the attachment to how I'm going to get there. So it's very much right now, just what is the next 2 to 3 steps in front of me? And beyond that, I have no idea what's going to happen. Like, I have no idea, but it's okay because I trust that once I get through the next 2 or 3 steps, the next 2 or 3 after that will appear. So there is a bigger sense, and it's not like that all the time. I mean, you and I have conversations where we stress about our business or we stress about whatever, but by and large, there is far less anxious attachment in all areas of my life.
Very, very good. Yeah, we've talked about attachment, anxious attachment, avoidant attachment here. It's so prevalent in every area. And I really had that as well, anxious attachment with regards to my body, anxious attachment about my alcoholism, anxious attachment to business for sure, anxious attachment to family members, anxious, like, everything I was taking personally, and everything, if it didn't go exactly according to plan, or if someone looked at me funny or something, would then spiral out. And I think that that's really a thing now.
Well, I mean, how you do one thing is how you do all things. You don't have anxious attachment just in romantic relationships. You'll create it everywhere.
Oh, yeah. And the hyperbole that comes along with anxious attachment and the hypervigilance is everywhere. I just noticed the news today was reading an article about the hurricane in Maui, and the wording that's used, the hyperbole, and also then the victimization of the island by the hurricane. Crazy. Okay, so what women are looking for, those that are looking for a relationship, what does it look like, feel like, coming from your perspective, what would be the best way to approach dating?
I think this applies to both masculine and feminine. Worry about connecting to yourself before you worry about building that connection with the other person. Because when you're truly connected to yourself, to your core energy, to your desires, to your highest vision for your life, you'll reject any person, thing, or thought system that does not contribute to that vision. Does that make sense?
That does.
And I never would have believed this a year ago. I would have been like making the jerk off motion for days if somebody had said this to me. But through experience, I've come to believe it. And eventually you suffer enough in relationships or in any part of your life that you're forced to change. The relationship that we're all pining for, I think, is to ourself first.
Mm.
And then from there, you'll attract the person you want and you'll be able to show up the way that you want in a relationship. There's no running away. There's no obsessing whether they texted you quickly enough, because there's just a confidence in what you bring to the table and owning your worth and owning your value. That's another one for me. Like, there was a time when I'd like send the text message and I'd be like, well, what do you mean? It's been an hour. She hasn't texted me back. I used to be that guy. It's embarrassing to say because it sounds neat and needy as fuck. But there was a time in my 20s I was that guy. No wonder I wasn't having successful relationships. Now there's no emotional charge around that. You just show up, you're connected to yourself, you have your intention, and you let the chips fall where they may.
Perfect. I got an email this morning. I just did a Facebook Live on it. And I got several emails, actually. And the whole, I don't know if guys get these emails too, but they are very fear-based. And they are scarce in, if he pulls away, do this. And then they're selling several $100 courses.
Of course.
If he doesn't respond to your text, buy this text course and then text him this. And the whole thing drives me batshit crazy because, first of all, there are women that are looking like, why did he pull away? So they're reading all of those things, which is anxious attachment. But then they're buying these courses. Do you guys get things like that? Do you get emails like that?
I don't think it's so much about the emails, or maybe I'm just not subscribed to those lists, right? I've never been the guy who's like signing up for the 100 and free sex secrets. Give me your email and now be spam from now until forever. But it's the culture. We are a culture of consumption. That's what marketing is in this day and age. Wear Axe body spray because it will help you get laid more. Take these diet pills because if you have a spare tire, nobody will fuck you. Buy the Lexus. Oh my, those are, oh my God. Oh, holy shit. This is most insulting, right? To both masculine and feminine.
Oh yeah?
Show her that you love her this Christmas by buying her a Lexus.
Oh, yes.
Fuck you. And then the way they position it with the girl just lit up, like, you know, about getting the Lexus, all of it, right? That's marketing in our current economy. It's how everything is sold. It's perpetuating fear that you're not enough if you don't have blank.
Yes, the window is closing. Makes me a little crazy. So that's why I gravitate towards people who don't sell fear and really are selling and focusing on healing and love. It's very important to me. I vote with my dollars. I vote with my time. And I hope that anyone who is subscribed to those awful, awful emails, do not buy anything. Unsubscribe. And let's work on your relationship with yourself. Let's get you in a way that you are glowing. Let's get you in a way that is healing those blocks and the things that are in the way, why we would care if he pulls away.
Yeah. I love that.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Well, thank you, Megan.
It's been really fun.
I know. It's always a blast when we get to do these things.
It just goes and goes. It's so easy to talk to you. And we talk every day.
This is pretty much just like one of our regular phone conversations on a Wednesday. And we just like rolled audio on it. But no, it's an exciting thing for me that I can even be in this energy and can in some way maybe be an example for other men out there about what's possible. Again, there's no shame in any of it. You know, I'm telling you, I don't know of any man who was ever taught any of this,
right?
Growing up.
Tell us about what you do, Dan.
I work as a career and life transition coach. I help people discover their purpose. I help people get out of soul-sucking jobs and create their second act and find work that they're passionate about that has deep meaning. That's what I do on the surface. Do I work with other people and men on relationship issues? Of course. So if you're a woman listening to this podcast and you want to make sure you are in your feminine and you are out there crushing it on the dating scene, Megan is a great resource. But if you got a man who's not showing up, send him my way. I'd be happy, I'd be happy to work with him.
Oh, I love that. And how do we find you?
Yeah, you can find me on my website, creativesoulcoaching.net. And you can also check out my podcast, which debuted number one on Apple last year. We even have an episode where Megan's been on. She's been a guest where we had an amazing conversation. It's called Life Amplified. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, or any platform where you listen to your favorite podcast.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, my friend.
Ladies, thank you so much for listening and joining. I'm really excited about this and talking to a lot of different people in how is it that we can bring really that life, the eye-rolling life, the eclair eating, chocolate eating, orgasmic life into every part of our lives and have a life that is inspiring to other people. So if this is interesting to you, if you would like more information, you can find me at MeganMReilly.com, or this one is kind of fun, MeganMReilly.com/pages/ignite the fire.
Yeah.
Have a great day. This is Megan Reilly. You have been listening to The Women's Guide to Living the Orgasmic Life. If you'd like more information, my website is MeganMReilly.com. And go shake those hips.